Blog Talk Radio.
Because
worship him because of who he is. Because of who you are Jehovah Jireh. You have been our provider. You are Jehovah Nisra. Listen, brothers and sisters, we ought to worship God because he's been just that good to us. He's been better to us than we to ourselves. Hey, my name is Louis Beasley, Apostle Jesus, called by the will of God. To all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, we truly are happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to do something a little different today. Hallelujah. We're going to ask, evangelist, Pastor Hill. She's here available to pray. And normally we ask people beforehand, but the Lord just asked me. That's where she'll just pray for people in the country. Stuff that they're dealing with. Just be prideful of who we are and bless God. And pray for this broadcast. That's good. Pastor Mel and everything. Good afternoon, Pastor Marilyn.
Good afternoon, Pastor. And everyone that's on the line.
Yes.
Father, I thank you and praise you. I give you honor and glory. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, Father God, for all that's happening in the world today, because you are the author and finisher of our faith. And I thank you, Lord God, that our faith is strong. I thank you, Lord God, for this broadcast. I thank you, Lord God, that anything and everything that will come against it, that you have already worked it, but you have already worked it out so that it wouldn't cause any effect, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, against the broadcast in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, I'm going to say for Pastor Lewis. I thank you, Lord God, that he is Pastor Beasley. I thank you, Lord God, that he is a man after your own heart and that he is willing to do your will, the work of the Father who sent him. So I thank you, Lord God, for that. I thank you, Lord God, that that we are children of the Most High God. I thank you, Lord God, that no weapon formed against this broadcast or anyone that's on this broadcast shall prosper in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that you have already ordered our steps. You have ordered our steps, and we're on the path of the narrow path that you have planted us on, Lord God. And, Father, we thank you for keeping us on that path in the name of Jesus. Father, today I want to lift up the people with COVID, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to heal the land, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to heal the people that are suffering from COVID today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. My prayer is that that you will remove COVID from this land, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that anybody that's suffering from any illness, ill will, anything that's not of you and not like you, Lord God, I pray that you will remove it from them in the name of Jesus Christ. I just thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing in the world. I thank you, Lord God. And I praise you, give you honor and glory in Christ Jesus. Say, lift the name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Marilyn, for that beautiful prayer. You know, brothers and sisters, people can learn something if you just listen with your heart. She just said something in her prayer that just really truly blessed me. And she said that move this virus away. This, brothers and sisters, you could imagine if all the Christians, true believers, would get together and pray and tell God, God, it's going to happen. Because this ain't something God put here. God don't put sickness on his children. He don't put sickness on his children. That's not God. I don't care what you've been told in the past. That is not God. You won't see nowhere in the scripture where if there was a sickness, it wasn't because God put it there. So when she said that we just pray that this be removed, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you right now, it's enough power. It's enough power right now that we can cause Corona to leave here. That's the vaccine we need. The vaccine we need is to pray that coronavirus leaves here. And it happens to pray. So thank you so much, Pastor Evangelist, for that beautiful prayer. We're going to some of the things that we talked about this week. This is not my review. This is our review. So anything that we talked about this week, I would love anyone who have any comments on anything to come forth, and we'll discuss it. Hallelujah. Some of the things that we talked about this week. We started off Monday by saying that, you know, before I know that, because if you walk in the spirit, and he's in the spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of, I just had to say that, because we got to stay in God, man, at all times. You will not fulfill the things of this world if you stay in the things of God. That's what I wanted to say. Hallelujah. Over in 1 Timothy 6, we started off Monday because this is a relational scripture. And it is a verse that reads like this. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So that was our subject. Okay. If anybody has any comments on anything, press one and we'll let you in. I've heard some background noise and different places. I'm just going to let anybody want to have anything to say. Listen, brothers and sisters, this is about getting eternally rest, okay? The Bible says in 1 Timothy 12 that we have to fight the good fight of faith. Faith is the word of God, brothers and sisters. That's what faith is. I just want to put that out there like that. Do your research. You'll see. So then faith comes by. You want more faith, you got to hear it. Okay? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the word of God. Jesus Christ was the faith made in flesh. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the author of it. Because he's the word. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. Okay? Our faith is Christ. That's all we got to do is have faith in him. To have faith is to have the word of God. Well, how do you get that? By trusting. How do you get that by trust? By believing. In other words, whatever it is that you're dealing with, you find it in the word of God and you act on it. Then God is pleased with that. Because without faith or without the word of God, better way of saying this, because I want you to hear it clearly. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So what that means is, without you having the word there, it's impossible to please God. Because he's pleased by his word. He's pleased by Christ. See? That's what he's pleased with. All that other stuff don't please God. Oh, no. Oh, Jesus. Praying into, oh, God, none of that. The only thing pleasing God, check the record, check the scriptures. You're talking about pleasing God. It's his word. That's faith in the word. So the fighting again is called the fight of faith. And you have to battle there. That becomes your battle right there, brothers and sisters. You're fighting a good fight now. Because you're battling with the word of God. so you can lay hold on eternal life. And we started out by saying that is, you start with truth, brothers and sisters, okay? I just want to be real clear with you. You start with truth. And John 17:17, I guess that's why I love this scripture. In John 17, it says, let me get over here. Listen, brothers and sisters, I'm learning more about God every day. The more I learn, the deeper I want to get. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That sets you apart from everything else is the word of God. Do you look just like your neighbor. Probably wear the same clothes your neighbor wear. Some of them go to different buildings. But the only thing that separates you from all of that is truth. That truth is the word of God. Jesus said, as thou hast sent me into the world, he was sent into the system. Even so have I sent them into the world. He says, and for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through thy truth. Hey, I don't pray for these alone, but for them also shall believe on me through thy word. So the idea, my sister, is to believe in Christ based on the word of God. That's the kind of stuff you're fighting for. You're fighting to stay one with Christ. That's why you can't deceive you. Who all know man will deceive you, huh? Who all know that Satan will deceive you? And what he uses is man. He uses, say, you want to talk about that in a little bit. Satan got so many tricks up his sleeve, it's pathetic. I mean, I'm learning more every day by the stuff that Satan does and the power God gave it to him. God gave him. And he using it because he knows he had but a short time. In that verse, he says, let me back up a little bit. That's Colossians 2. And I think I'm going to back up to, on that fact, second verse. Start with the second verse. I think I end up with the eighth verse. But that their hearts may be comforted, being knitted together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The treasures and wisdom of knowledge is hidden in Christ, brothers and sisters. So if you don't get Christ, you'll never get this wisdom. You'll have wisdom, you'll have knowledge, but that'll be worldly stuff. But all the wisdom and knowledge of Christ is hidden, of God is hidden in Christ. He says, in this I say, if any man should tell you with enticing words, boy, that is just so deep. From time to time, the internet and these preachers using all these enticing words, and I know some people are so caught up on the way they articulate words until they believe that their word more than they do the word of Christ. Wow. This is my favorite preacher. Don't say anything about him. I'll say anything I want to say about anybody. But I don't have anything to say about nobody. I can say the word of God and see what the word of God says. But I will never, ever put a man, woman, or anything else above the word of God. If I do it, it won't be intentionally. It will be intentionally. But he says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. People are just caught, man, and bamboozled with enticing words. But though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joy and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. See, that's where it says, your faith, trusting the word of God in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, that's not a misprint, brothers and sisters. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him. He didn't tell you to walk in Jesus, told you to walk in Christ Jesus. That's a big difference. He says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Four verse, I want you to really hone in on here. It says, beware lest any man should spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Did you hear that? I don't know if it's going to be next week or not, but God just really illuminated that scripture before me. So many people are being deceived because of people whose vocabulary is so eloquent. People's way of understanding is so eloquent. People's way of knowing certain things go through people's imagination even. And God continued to tell me, hey, these people are of the world. Listen, brother, this eight verse is no joke. This eight verse is telling us to be careful. Be careful. Not to let anyone rob you of this stuff. First of all, of your faith. Because here, the enemy will swallow you up. He will mislead you. How they get through philosophy. And we have preachers out there, all they do is philosophize the word of God. And I'll tell you a couple of them right. I can tell you a couple of them right now. But I'm going to ask the Holy Ghost to show who they are. They take words and they'll tell you, oh, you everything positive. Or they'll have you, they'll just take a bunch of words and just go, you know, and you get memorized by that. So, he said, set your person. He said, don't follow these people. Especially those that are after tradition. Those are one of the worst things you can do. And I'm being really honest. Is to stay in tradition. Because he wants you in tradition. It becomes repetitive. Like, in other words, it's the same thing over and over and over. That's what it really is. And you can never get away from that and learn revelation knowledge. Because that's where you want to get in that repetitive stage, in that place where everything over and it's pointless, if you want to know the truth. It's pointless. How can you ever grow like that? It's repeating this fifth grade over and over and over. Until there be a change, you'll never go to the sixth grade. The promotion comes when you break away from tradition. Whoever took a test and you do the same thing over and over, you're going to get the same result. Same stuff caught up in this church stuff, this tradition, you're going to get one result. And the Bible is the world's doing. It's the way the world does things. Rubbish following Christ. Wow, I just thought that was just mind-blowing. And I thank God today, brothers and sisters, he allowed me to break away from a lot of tradition. I thank every day for that. That was so powerful for me when God did that. Allowed me to break away. Because see, what happened, and I don't know if the Lord, he lead me to just really take a moment and teach people about what the world is. So I may do that. I'm going to do it right now. I may do it next week. And you want to hear this. You want to hear some of the definition and some of the things God has shown me about the world, okay? But don't forget, we're living this new and living way, according to Hebrews 10, 20. Don't forget that. This is a new way. Remember, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That has to become a reality. That has to become real to you. If that don't ever become real, you're going to always be stuck. Same thing. The only thing going to set you apart from that, from the world way of doing things, is truth. The word is true. Okay? And also, we won't do it today, but next week maybe, if the Lord says so, I want to deal with worship. Brothers and sisters, that's something we got to be careful what we're worshiping and who we're worshiping and understand what worshiping is and understand what the world is. Boy, that goes. Okay. Last week, we got into Tuesday. I'll go back to Tuesday. 1 Peter 5 and 10. Okay, I got a little help here. 1 Peter 5 and 10. Anyone else like to comment or you like to have part of the you're going to have to press 1 because I closed it all down. So I see Pastor here. She'll want to read. Anybody else would like to read? We appreciate it. Normally, I don't like to do that, but the Lord has told me anyone like to read, let them. So I'm there. And I will just keep the flow going. In 1 Peter 5 and 10, as Pastor, she'll be so kind. Read that out of the Messenger Bible. I'm going to read it out of King James. And there again, brothers and sisters, if anyone have any comments, just press 1. I promise you, we'll just pause for the call and make sure we hear what you say. But that's very important that we get clarity, okay? But in 1 Peter 5:10, it reads like this: But the God of all grace, who have called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settling in you.
Amen, amen. Good afternoon, everyone. And from the Message Bible, keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. Amen, amen.
God shows us his kindness. That's another thing. Yeah. Brothers. At some point in time, you got to know what God and what not God. And you don't have to go no further than yourself. But, you know, you might not never wondered about it, but I don't know. I did. I used to wonder, well, why would God do this? And why would he cause suffering? Why would people do this? And why would people, why we got tornadoes? And I would go, now come to find out, that ain't nothing but the devil's power. It does that to us. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to show y'all that in the scripture, too. I may not share it to you today because we be thinking God allowed this stuff to happen. There's a lot of stuff God allowed to happen, and we've given them credit for it. But in this particular scripture, Tuesday, in 1 Peter 5 and 10, he said, but the God of all grace, and that's why he have all grace, because he can intervene in anything. Because he has called us to this eternal glory. Man, that's wow, that's awesome. You know, the world have glory, but they don't have eternal glory. So we've been called to this eternal glory. And I just think that is so awesome to know that God called us. In other words, hey, come over here, Pastor. We're having a party. I want you to be part of it. See, when you think about the glory, and what glory is and what it represents. Yeah, hey, we're going to have a good time over here, man. We've been, he said, come on over here. This is the call. for us to come over here to the glory, the eternal glory, by Jesus, not Jesus Christ. And remember now, this is Peter. This is not Paul writing this. So they all have been in touch with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost teaches them the same thing about Christ Jesus. Not only Jesus Christ now, but it's Christ Jesus. That is so important. You got to get that. You got to get past that Jesus Christ, because that Jesus was the sacrifice. Since I'm not trying to shout anything, I'm trying to show you how powerful the Word of God is. I'm trying to show you what a blessing it is to know that you're Christ Jesus now. And you have to make that transition. You have to have the knowledge to say, wait a minute, Jesus represented the sacrifice, but Christ represented the risen life, this new and living way. We be risen with Christ, not risen with Jesus, be risen with Christ. Well, Peter had the experience, and Paul had the experience, and I can give you some other scriptures, too, that will support this, that you have to come to a place. Evangelist Renee, she got a hold of that Christ Jesus thing. Man, I talked to her a couple of times. She went, Christ Jesus. I mean, boy, that was like, and she was spiritual, for those that may not know it. But anyway, so we talked about that a little bit. And anybody have any comments, you press one. If not, we're going to keep going. The next scripture we really talked about was 1 John 1 and 7. So y'all go with me to 1 John 1 and 7. And I urge anybody, if you didn't hear Evangelist Marilyn prayer this morning, I pray that you go and listen to it online. Pastor going to give you the website where to go listen to it for the end of the broadcast today. But I got something out of there when she said, pray that this virus be removed. We have the power. But see, that's Satan stuff. We have the power over that. Whatever we bind on earth, we bind in whatever we do on earth to be loose. So it's going to take all of us. It's going to take every believer there to get together, have a prayer day one day where everybody just pray that this virus cease, be deleted, be stripped of all your power. Revelation said we can do that. And when she said that, it just really blessed me in that prayer. But in 1 John 1 and 7, it reads like this: but if you walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen, amen. Praise God. And from the Message Bible, if we claim... Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Let me back up here. We're supposed to be 7. But if we walk in the light, God himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another as the sacrificial blood, as the sacrifice blood, I'm sorry, of Jesus. God purged all our sins. And I'd like to read that again, Pastor. It says, but if we walk in the light, God himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another as the sacrifice blood of Jesus, God's son, purges all our sins. Amen, amen.
How awesome is this? If we walk in the light. So I say again, if you want a fellowship, walk in the light and don't walk in darkness. Because in darkness, there's not a bunch of lies. If you don't know what darkness is, then go back to this thing we talked about, the world. And if we really get into it today, I'm going to make sure, if it's the Lord's will, we get into it next week. Because it's that important to me that you know what the world is. I can tell you all, do your research, study. Lord said, nah, I want you to do it for them. Tell them what thus says the Lord. Explain to them the difference between the world. It's just like in the scripture over there in Revelation. Watch this. Over in Revelation 13, we had this scripture this week too. Revelation 13, 7 and 8. You're going to read that. Revelation 13, 7. Because I want you all, I want you to do your research, okay? It's the seventh verse, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now you're a saint. Say, you're a saint. I'm going to read it first. It says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kingdoms, tongues, and nations. And the eighth verse says, and all that dwells upon the earth, believe it or not, you're on the earth, and shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. Life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So if any man have an ear, let him hear. That's the ninth verse. So I read from the 7th to the Revelation 13, 7 through the 9th verse. Okay,
Pastor. From the Message Bible, it was permitted to make war on God's holy people and conquer them. It held absolutely sway over all tribes and people, tongues, and races. Everyone on earth whose name was not written for the world's foundation is slaughtered. Lamb's Book of Life will worship the beast. Have mercy. Are you listening to this? Amen, amen.
So, this is brother and sister. It was power. And that's the part I want you to get a hold to. Satan was given power. You know, he's blaspheming the name of Christ anyway. See, when you blaspheme, you're going against. So you don't want to be caught up in that kind of stuff.
Amen.
Christ's teaching. You don't want to be anti-Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you don't want to oppose Christ's teaching. And if you don't know Christ's doctrine, then shut your mouth. Shut it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get your mouth.
Amen.
Because it's not what goes in, but what comes out that defiles. You're going to mess around and defile that whole temple you're in.
That's it.
So what you letting come out, talking words, saying, well, it ain't this. No, you don't know. Shut up.
Amen.
Just keep it closed. Shit. Yeah. But the Bible says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now, that may not fit in your box. But you're in a war, brothers and sisters. The saints. I'm talking about saints now. You're in a war. And the Bible says power was given unto him over all kingdoms. So it's going to put you in this boat right here, if you like it or not. Every tongue, that means whatever you speak, you're in here. And nation. So when it comes here, you don't get away. You're going to fall under one of these categories. If you're not a people, then you have a tongue. If you're not a tongue, then you have kingdom. See?
All right.
I'm going to read that again. That's Revelation 13. Just read the seventh verse part. I want y'all to hear this, man. Everybody, Satan's been given power. Well, y'all already know John 10:10 says he come to steal, kill, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
But you think he don't kill? Yeah. He don't destroy? He's trying to destroy you and the word that's in you and the world.
Mm-hmm.
He has power
yeah.
over this. So, if you will, Pastor, can you just find that seventh verse over
Yes, Pastor. From the Message Bible, it was permitted to make. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. It was permitted to make war on God's holy people. It held absolute sway over all tribes and peoples, tongues and races. Amen.
So that includes you. There's
mm-hmm.
a war. If you're fighting or not, Ephesians 6, because we went there too, Ephesians 6, and we'll go from the 10th verse. We went there too. You might want to look at the scripture, brothers and sisters. It was allowed to make war. And it goes more when you say make, talking about waging a war against God's holy people. You call yourself God's people, you're in a war. You may not know, but you're in a war.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Not on the front line don't always know you're in a war. We, those that never went to Afghanistan, you may not know we had a war going on there. To Desert Storm, you may not know. The Korean conflict. Back home, you wasn't, but if you were over there fighting, you would know. You know that we're
mm-hmm.
in a real war. Sometimes when people don't get close enough to the front line, then they don't say, oh, well, everything good. I'm still eating. I'm still have my same, you know, same this, same that. I'm still, you know, enjoying riding in this beautiful car, enjoying my home, enjoying going out in my car. See, they don't even think of war going on.
Have mercy.
Yeah. I'm still shopping. I'm still doing this, doing that. And the third, you know. I know. They don't even feel like no war going on. But the people on the mm-hmm. front line, they see it differently. They
yes.
dodge. They don't know when the next bullet's coming. They digging holes to get in. They
mm-hmm.
just see real closely for their superior office to give the next place we're getting ready to go. Well, what's going to be the next camp? What's going to be the next move? See, they're in a whole different mindset than you are because you're not close enough to know that a war, but a war is really going on.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And he says, everyone who's living on earth, you're living on earth, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at some point in time, let me tell you, we all have had our form of communication. We've all been there, done that, according to Ephesians 2, until God made us alive to that word. When we became alive to that word, and everything else is dead.
Mm-hmm.
To me, everything else is dead. But over mm-hmm. over in Ephesians, you have something you want to say, Pastor, on in there?
No, Pastor. No, Pastor.
Okay, God, praise the Lord. I thank God for you. Over in Ephesians, and I see this different than I used to see it, brothers and sisters. And I don't know if we'll get into it quite a bit today, but I do want to touch on a couple of things. So I'm going to go from Ephesians 6. We're going to read 10 through 7. And I know we're not going to be able to get it all, but we did touch on it Tuesday. So I'm
mm-hmm.
going to read it. It reads like this. It says, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power mm-hmm. of his might. Now, he's bringing something to a conclusion here, and he says, my brother. And brother really meant somebody is into the same thing, they into the same battle, the same fight. You're in the same platoon, if you would. In army, you're in the same squad. You know, you're part of that same regiment. You're in war. So he's calling you brother because y'all doing this thing mm-hmm. together. Y'all in war together. But anyway, he said, finally, my brother, be strong mm-hmm. in the, and in the mm-hmm. power of might. He tells me you got to get strength from. He said, so put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, it's military talk here. It's war talk here. Got to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand mm-hmm. therefore, having your loins girt, the first thing he said about with know you're walking in truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, you got to be right, brother and sister, okay? And, mm-hmm. and your feet sowed with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield.
Mm-hmm.
Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take mm-hmm. the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I think it's 17. So I'm going to leave it right there.
Okay. Excuse me, reading from the Message Bible. It says, a fight to the finish. And that about wraps it up. God is strong. He wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best material, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no weekend war that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for peace, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get. Every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how, to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirit up, so that no one falls behind or drops out. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
No, Pastor Mel had her hand up. Come in. So there you go. You're in, Pastor.
I was just going to... I have the what Bible is this? The Hebrew and Greek Study Bible, and I was reading. Yeah, I was going back to Revelation 13:7.
Uh-huh.
Well, actually, 6. And it says there was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies and authority to act for 42 months. So he's been given authority also. And it's like you said, mm-hmm. he's been, Pastor, you said he's been given power. But, he, you mm-hmm. know, there's one thing when somebody is given power, but when they've been given the authority to move, that means that,
You know, they're in right standing. They have the authority to do it. So he was given authority also.
Right.
To ask,
that's right.
To ask for 42 months and was given to him. It says, and he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God.
Mm-hmm.
To blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And then 7, it says, and was given to him to make war with the saints. And like you were saying, Pastor, I mean, you know, you always emphasize that we are in a war. We are in a battle. You know, I listened to you, and I was like, okay, well, you know, he's absolutely right. We are in a battle, and people need to get that mentally. They, you know, it needs to come to them mentally that we are in a battle, and the battle is not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle, and what we're fighting, we can't even see. But we have the word, which is the word of God, to fight with.
Amen.
So that's what I wanted to say. But it was, okay. I mean... Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, that's in line with what we were saying at over there in Ephesians 6. We was coming back to that. It's what we're wrestling against. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, brothers and sisters. It's against
flesh
and powers and rulers of people, spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, I don't want nobody to get this confused. Satan has a lot of power. He has a lot of authority, and the authority that we've been given unto him is what we live over here. And I missed it, and I have to be totally honest. I didn't realize Satan controls the atmosphere. I didn't know he controls some of the things he's controlling, like the weather. But then we think about it. What parent would want to see harm done to their child? So if God's love, you know, if God's love is greater than our love, which, you know, we could barely understand it, but God's love is so much better.
Yes.
You can imagine he would make his children sick. That ain't something you would do.
True.
So one day we were talking about Job. Satan had permission to attack Job. The only thing he couldn't do was kill him. He wasn't allowed to kill him. But we're fighting a fight to the finish. I totally agree with what you said, your Bible said. But understand, brothers and sisters, we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting. And then when you get clarity on this, because you put this armor on, you got to see if you're in a war, he's telling you what all to dress up. And then he's going to turn around and show you what you're going to have to face. And what you're going to have to face, well, you're going to need God's power to deal with this. There's no earthly power. There's no earthly wisdom.
Right.
There's nothing in the flesh can deal with this. Because it's far above all of that stuff. It's a real war you in, man.
Mm-hmm.
Flesh and blood, the things of this world. But then he starts pointing out things like principality. What that means? Against powers. What that means? Against rulers of the darkness of this world. What world is, there's rulers of this world. And against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yes.
He said, you got to deal with this stuff here. You're going to need some real weapons.
And
I have never looked at it, but it's a lack of spiritual growth. It's a lack of people teaching more about... See, let me tell you what. If Satan keeps you thinking the worst sin there is in the flesh is committing adultery, having sex, or without mask. See, if he can just keep you in that circle and keep you from people saying that, that's where he wants you. That's where he wants you practicing that. Because, see, that's his, he has that, too. He has power over that, too. So if he can keep your mind there, you'll never learn who he is. You'll never learn.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, when we see the word love, when we see the word lust, first thing we our mind go in the flesh.
Mm-hmm. That's
a whole another avenue. There are strong mm-hmm. nature and desires in men that scripture term for lust than what we've been told lust is. How about lusting for the spiritual? How about lusting for power? You'd be surprised out here mm-hmm. how many people out here want to be pastors of a church.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's great, man. And
yes, that's right.
That's a workshop. That's where he wants you at. He wants you to stay focused right there. So, hey, if you're going to be a great pastor, you got to go to this university. That. So he's going to take up about 20 years of your life just doing this kind of stuff. Don't know you're under attack already because he got you in his grasp. Man, if you're going to have churches to make these rules and regulations that if you're going to be a pastor mm-hmm. here, you got to have 4-year degree of this, 4-year degree of this, and then you got to have had this experience and that experience. See, then they've got clean out of the program.
Amen, amen.
Mm-hmm. So Satan gets you caught up there. He'll keep you there. And then some churches, if you can't sing, you can't be their pastor. See, they got all these rules and regulations, crazy stuff, man. And they become religious fantasy. They began to fantasize over religious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan has it. And the danger in that, and the danger that's really in there, they're not striving for holiness. They're
mm-hmm.
striving for that power, that control
mm-hmm.
for people.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Let me watch the break.
Yes.
They do whatever they want. They want to make sure you stay holy.
Mm-hmm.
And some people just like lamb. So they'll teach scriptures like, don't be unequal together with unbelievers. And they say unbelievers, people that don't go to their church. But
have mercy.
Fellowship. And that's true.
I'm telling you, this
word
for
true.
And it's just worth conversation. After the person goes to church, they don't tell you their church is right. Everybody else's church is wrong. They want you to be in agreement with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm equal to you. Yeah, you go to a Baptist church where I'm holding it. And holiness without no mattress, even love.
Mm-hmm.
And they carry on like that. See? And they think they're holy because they're doing a holy church. Joining the holy church don't make you holy, okay?
That's
all right.
Okay?
Say
keep
that.
Doing all you want. Don't make you holy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to church, but you don't have a forgiving spirit.
Have mercy.
Give nobody.
Have mercy, Lord.
And don't realize that God's word that says, if you can't forgive, I'm not going to forgive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The devil likes it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We covered some things last week that I'd like to finish. And one of them was the book of worship because you went to the book of worship again. See, people don't know what worship is. They don't know. They think worship is a building. It's our worship center. That's what the devil done did. He done created people to have a worship center. So if you don't come to the worship center, you're not worshiping God. That ain't even the word. So they built
mm-hmm.
humongous worship centers so that you can be comfortable. You'll feel you're part of it because your name is on one of the seats. Worship center.
Mm.
But you don't know why Satan did that, do you? Well, I'm going to tell you. Oh, I did that. Since you're asking, I'm going to tell you. So you have these people to build these buildings so that they'll worship him.
Mm.
They ain't worshiping a living God,
a true and living God to worship. He wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth. But Satan gets you caught up in that. And you'll find yourself going against commandments in the Bible.
Hammer.
Thou shalt have no other God. Yes, and worship no other God before me. See, people are not listening, brother. So they that have an ear, let them hear. Everybody don't have an ear to hear. But I'm telling you, that's what Satan wants you at. He wants you in that building. Oh, don't let the kids play in there. Why? Oh, this is the sanctuary. This is the worship area. I throw dirt up in that sanctuary place. It don't mean anything. Oh, Pastor, you're going to hell. Okay, we'll see who's going to go to hell here. I know who I'm worshiping, and it ain't no building. See, you love something, you really try to protect that. So these people, they love their building. They love their The director of the company, if you have a his or her position, you crave it, and they make money. The piano player, the organ player. Some of them make more than the pastor.
Have mercy, Lord.
Funny. But it's true, And they ain't finna give up their position. And she's the head of the usher. And she's been that way for about 20 years. And she ain't finna give up her position. She's gonna go and fight with the board and tell the board what all she done and how she raised money for the board. And they got new uniforms now. And these things are important. And sister, I'm going to find you because you didn't have on the right shoes today. But I came to work. I don't care. You didn't have the right shoes. You're going to get fined $10. And you ain't going to get on the floor. Sit down.
That's a crime thing.
You can't worship God because you got the wrong kind of shoes.
That's a crime thing.
That's not worshiping in spirit.
She's going to say that. She's going to pout through the whole service. And her mind ain't even on the Lord. So I know she ain't worshiping God. I already know that. So first of all, most of them don't know what worship is anyway. But anyway.
Have mercy.
We have to get into that. Listen, brothers and sisters. God don't want us to worship. And you may not see it. Satan got you blind. Because he's the God of this world. He'll blind you when you worship. You'll never know what worship is.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never know what true worship is because you think you worship God in spirit and in truth. And you worship God according to feelings. God don't want you worship him according to feelings. Well, I feel, no. Put them feelings to rest. Bind them up. Now, I'm going to walk in the spirit as he's in the spirit. And then I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, how you do that?
Yeah.
Walk in the word of God. That's how you do that. There's a spiritual. Tell you what, and I'm gonna be done because I'm missing. I can't get into, but God didn't tell me to kind of talk about next week. I'll tell you right now, you can have spiritual intercourses, okay?
Right. Say that.
Yeah. You can have spiritual adultery.
Yeah.
Everybody don't have an ear to hear that. See, God more concerned about you having spiritual intercourse than you having physical intercourse. Because, I mean, not that he wants you to do any of them, but I'm just trying to tell you right now. He give you the physical so you can appreciate what the spiritual is about. If you don't know what the physical intercourse is about, you want to know what spiritual intercourse is about. He tells you about the spiritual and physical intercourse so you don't know what the spiritual intercourse is. So you don't know the difference between spiritual adultery and what that means because he taught you through natural adultery. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, you may be married, and when you get married, when you go out on your husband or your wife, some people think you just had adultery. That's not adultery, brothers and sisters. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you leave her, him to marry another, that's adultery. See?
All right. Amen.
But when you just messing around with somebody, you know, when I've had sex, or you interacting and you engage and stuff, that's an intercourse.
It's called fornication.
Exactly. It's called fornication.
With your partner,
you just had that horn around.
And what does Corinthians say
that's
about that?
Spiritual. So when you out here messing around with these different spirituals that's in dark places, I think what I'll do, I'll leave the Baptist and go to the Holiness Church. I think I'll leave the Holiness Church and I'll go Presbyterian. And finally somebody can set your butt down for a minute, and then you done spent half of your life practicing on other religions, trying to do what they did.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't into telling on everything you can about that so you can become fully grown in that religion.
Mm.
And it's okay. It's okay. Don't get me wrong now. Because Paul, that's what Paul did. And what he did. That's what he did. He become a Jew. He become a Gentile. He become everything there is. Matter of fact, he became Pharisees of the Pharisees. He practiced all that different stuff. And kind of realized all of it was junk.
Yes, he did.
But anyway, let me stop there for a second. But people don't realize what Revelation is telling us, brothers and sisters, they have false worship. They was worshiping the beast.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to know who the beast is. Don't ignore that word, man, because you're running into a, well, that just means fun. No, that's you right now. If you got an ear to hear, you may not have an ear to hear that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what's happening right now. I take you there. Now, don't make me go there, because I sure go that way.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to be nice, brothers and sisters. But, you know, the first book I ever preached out of was the book of Revelation. And everybody thought, oh, man, this man is out of his rabbit mind. Yeah. See, when I started preaching, preachers didn't preach the book in the book of Revelation. They didn't preach in the book of Revelation.
That's right. Was, their voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My first sermon came out of the book of Revelation.
Uh-huh.
20 chapter 16 verses, have you any roots? And my subject was, have you any roots? Because it was talking about the root of David, the bright and morning sun. So what God gave me, and what he gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't trying to get no preacher's approval. But everything I said was in the Word of God. And he said anything outside of the Word of God. Now, that may be impossible, but I'm going to tell you, when you start in the Holy Spirit, he'll just take you to say everything in there. And it don't take all that long time either. Boom, I was done in 15 minutes.
All right.
I wasn't trying to please man. I would have to ask my pastor, can I preach this? Can I preach this? Can I preach this? Is this okay to preach? Or am I on good standards to preach this? I could fully hear what he thought.
All right.
But let me tell you, brother, I'm going to remember this until whenever God tells you to say so. But in that, you got to know, I guess you need to know when he says, and they that dwell upon the earth, which that's us, him. Well, who's he talking about? Whose name not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? You want to make sure you're not worshiping that beast.
All right. Amen.
Yeah. Do your research. Make sure you're not worshiping that beast.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you understand what worship is. And if you don't, stick around for next week, because I'm gonna show bring it out through the scripture. You're gonna know what worship is based on the scripture.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Anyone else?
Well, Pastor, I'd like to read Ephesians 6 from God's Word. Where did we go down to? 6 through.
That's the 6th chapter? Or the
six
verse?
The 6th chapter. The 6th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. Okay. And the subtitle of that, it said, put on all the armor that God supplied.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, put on all the armor that God supplied. Mm-hmm. And it said, finally, receive your power from the Lord and from his mighty strength. Put on all the armor that God supplies. In this way, you can take a stand against the devil's strategies. This is not a wrestling match against a human opponent. We wrestle with rulers, authorities, the powers who govern this world of darkness, and spiritual forces that control evil in the heavenly world. For this reason, take up all the armor that God supplies. Then you will be able to take a stand during these evil days. Once you have overcome all obstacles, you will be able to stand your ground. So then, take your stand. Fasten truth around your waist like a belt. Put on God's approval as a breastplate. Put on your shoes so that you are ready to spread the good news that gives peace. In addition to all these, take the Christian faith as your shield. With it, you can put out all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Also, take salvation as your helmet and God's word as the sword that supplies, that the Spirit supplies. So verse 17, also take salvation as your helmet. Amen. So I have wanted to read that because, like, we know we're in a spiritual warfare. Amen.
Yes.
I like that. Let's say, also take salvation as your helmet and God's word. You need that word, as you were saying, as a sword that the Spirit supplies. Then the 18th verse said, pray in the Spirit in every situation. Not some situations, but every situation. It says, use every kind of prayer and request there is for the same reason. Be alert. So you have to be alert. Pay attention. I remember you telling us that some time ago. So you got to pay attention.
I met one girl, let me teach on, was part of a sermon, but praying in the at all times and on every occasion, that we should be staying alert. And for a person to do that, praying in the Spirit is so important, because you praying in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit, pray according to the word of God. You say everything. If you don't know enough scripture, then learn enough. Because you want to, see, Satan can't do anything with that.
Amen.
Now, there's another way you can pray to block your mind out from certain things. But let me tell you what. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying the word of God. How I know that. Because he said, the word I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word of God is spirit. It's what it is. So when he says, pray in the Spirit, every situation, find a word for it. Find scripture for it.
That's right.
I mean, like Romans 8:37 says, I'm more than a conqueror through him. That's you and me. So when you saying things like that, you praying in the spirit. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I'm ecstatic in the word of God. See, when you pray in that and you saying it, see the difference between praying and saying it, I don't know. I don't know what the difference is. Oh, everybody got quiet. See, I don't know the difference between praying, saying what the word say, and saying what I feel. Praying in the spirit is asking God, talking to God about his word. That's praying in the spirit, because the word of God says, if you said something like 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I'm here. If you just kept saying that, Lord, I'm here. By his stripes I'm here. I'm always reminded of Evangelist Renee. She prays in the spirit, all right? But she always saying, see, that's more than just a confession, brother and sister. That's getting up and talk to pray like that. We've been taught that you can con God. You can say that, and then you done con God. You ain't con God. God know what you say. He know what you're about.
Yeah.
Get real with God, then get real with me. But until you get real with God, I'm gonna just call you stupid. That's what Paul said. Paul said they were stupid. They were heathen. Yeah. So when the Bible says praying in the spirit in every situation, I think that's what you said. Is that what you said?
Yes, Pastor.
I remember he said always pray, and he talked about supplication in the King James. But in the Messenger or whatever, it's saying the same thing. Praying in the spirit in every situation, brothers and sisters. Watching thereof and all praise. See, you have to pray in the spirit is a whole subject by itself. Because so many lies, and then we think we've gotten results, and Satan will let you see some results so you can continue to believe in him and what he's doing. And it had nothing to do with God. But he'll keep that going because he know if he don't, he'll lose you as a soldier. But I just rather pray God than to pray man's way or to pray Satan's way. See, that's my praise. I rather pray God's way. I'm not feelings anymore. There was a time I used to pray because I felt this or felt that. No, I pray based on the word of God. I ain't trying to son God. He already knows. So my job is to learn how to pray in the spirit. So one time, y'all may not believe this, but I'm telling you the truth, and I'm going to leave it alone. And I know you read everything above that. But then I thought about it, you know, the Lord just told me in the spirit is, so I'm letting you know that when you praying in the spirit, you praying in the word. You praying based on the word is.
That's what it says.
Nobody taught me that. They told me to say Jesus. Nah, I mean, it sounds like, you know, hey, well, it sounds good. I should be saying that. But they told me I was praying, and that was praying the devil's way. I was praying God's way. The devil knows he ain't got no power. He knows that he has but a short time. There's a lot of stuff the devil knows that you don't know that the devil knows. But he knows. So he's not ignorant to this stuff. But
that's right.
When it comes to revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge.
Yeah.
Because if he did, he'd never told Jesus to jump from that pinnacle.
That's right.
Because God got
that's
angels.
Right.
It's been written. He says, written that God got angels to pick you up before you hit that ground. And then Jesus gave him the revelation of that by letting him know. It's also written, Satan, that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. See, Satan wants to bring his little agenda in things because God gave him power after he sold out to Satan, to Adam sold out to Lucifer. Well, he had power. He had creative power. Yeah.
Right.
To kill, kill, and destroy. And you may not like that. So how do he kill? He killed through tornadoes.
Okay. All right.
Yes, he is. You think your daddy would let a tornado tear you up? But guess what? When you're in, and some people just accredit that to God. Well, that's what God wanted, to teach you a lesson. He had to whoop your butt just to teach you a lesson. He had
have
to
mercy.
Teach you with the iron stick so you'll understand.
Have mercy. Have mercy.
What happened to the love that God had? What happened to the love that he so loved the world that he gave? What happened to that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they want to tell you earthly perspective. You know, sometimes you got to give them heart love. See, they're doing it from the earthly. But when you're spiritual, you have spiritual things with spiritual and not earthly things. When you're spiritual, you may not be spiritual. You may not know how to compare that. That may be foolishness to you.
Mm.
But brothers and sisters, if your thanks ain't on his job, you, let me tell you right now,
you're missing it. That's right. Amen. That's why we got to be on.
And go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, that's why we got to be on our job, because he on his all the time.
That's right. And let me tell you what. He's a liar. See, when you know he's a liar, yes. He'll never tell you the truth. They ain't going to tell you, I'm controlling this weather. I caused dramatic conditions to come up. I caused the sea to get enraged. He ain't going to tell you he did that. He ain't going to tell you that.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus called the storm to come and the wind to blow, and they was about to die. And oh, Jesus, they wake him up. I mean, wake the man up.
How could you be about to die when Jesus is on the sea?
And he had to come up and beat the wind. See, let me tell you
what. Yeah.
You don't rebuke the child. You would rebuke the thing that caused the child to be whatever it is. It's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
So that storm that was going on, that wasn't Jesus' stuff. You know that was Satan's stuff. You know that was Satan's stuff. So he rebuked that.
Mm-hmm.
You think a house divided among itself is going to... No, that wasn't Jesus. That wasn't Christ. That wasn't his son.
Mm-hmm.
He know that storm where it came from. He came, so he rebuked it. Now, the sea was acting up because of what the storm did. It had nothing to do with it. The sea wasn't doing anything. So Jesus had to speak to the sea, too, and told him, peace be still. You got my peace now. You
want
to say that. That ugly devil called you to throw your waves everywhere. But hey, I'm here now. Calm down. You can calm down, see. I know you don't have a whole lot to do with it, but calm down. I got you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
That ugly devil was calling that boat to rock like that and was calling everybody to get afraid and scared.
Mm-hmm.
As it came, they were scared. They were scared, man. They were
mm-hmm. Right. Yes, they did. Mm-hmm.
And out of all the things that Jesus could say, he said, come on, you a little faith. Come on, Jesus, what you talking about? Man, we got faith.
Mm-hmm.
You a little faith. Mm-hmm. You God's son. He said, you his son,
yes.
Too? Yes, your faith is little. Get a little bit more word up in you. And learn that whatever you say and not doubt, but believe what you say is going to come to pass, you don't have that. You're having that one.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all so much. Anybody else have anything else to say? And because I want you to know, brothers and sisters, we need to learn more about our enemy. If you're going to, I was looking at a football game the other day. When you know what that team weakness is, you can defeat them. But if you ain't trying to learn what his weakness are, and then learn your strength, learn your weakness. You want to learn the devil. The only way you're gonna defeat him, you gotta learn what his weakness are. And know what he's armed with. Satan ain't armed with nothing, but then again he is armed with something if you don't know any better.
Right.
You got righteousness. There's no hell no.
That's right.
Satan has lied. So everything he say to you, if you're listening, he's going to lie. That's all he can do.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of his weapons. And that's a serious weapon, too. Serious.
It is.
People that got divorced because of lies. Got jobs.
Amen.
People have been sentenced to death because of lies. And a lot of people have died because the white woman got up and said that black man was killed. We've lost cities and whole countries because people lie.
Yeah.
Some of the biggest wars that ever been told because of lies.
Mm-hmm.
Our belief got twisted because of lies. Lies is a dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Y'all going to sleep. So Santa Claus coming down the chimney at about 12:01.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even have a chimney.
All right.
And we
fly. At some point in time, you got to say, okay, wait a minute. This is my only life I got to live. Let me get raw. Yeah, you have to go there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bother that. I'm not going to touch that one right there. You better touch it. If you know what's going on, you better touch it. Find what's really going on. The worst thing you can do is leave here on the line.
Mm-hmm.
When you got a chance to figure out if it's the truth or a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, brothers and sisters, y'all have a blessed one. Enjoy the weather. We might get some snow in Atlanta. Woo! I'm home with you.
Yeah. No.
Man, we get some snow down here. Yes, sir. Y'all take care and see y'all on.